May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. This was one of those days that pass with many distractions and few real events. So wrote Henry Nouwen, a Dutch Catholic priest, professor, writer, and theologian, in August of 1974. Earlier that year, he had embarked on an inward journey, setting out to live as a monk in a Trappist monastery for 7 months. He knew he needed a sabbatical, a time of rest and rejuvenation, to refocus his energy. As a priest and writer, he had come to the realization that, although he had written plenty about the importance of solitude and peace of mind, he had very little of either. And so he set out to Genesee, a monastery in western New York, and the solitude provided plenty of time away from his hectic lecture schedule and his teaching schedule. But Nouwen soon found that monastery life, monastic life, had a downside. He was not accustomed to the menial task that came with it. Time away from the problems of the real world sounds idyllic, but the reality didn't live up to the hype. The novelty of packing bread, collecting stones, and washing raisins with the other monks soon wore thin. Even surrounded by the slow pace of monastery life, it seemed impossible for Nouwen to escape days filled with many distractions and few real events. Even in this world, apart from the world, he passed some days busy, active, talkative, but very superficial and without much concentration on anything, he wrote, much like his regular life, life in the so-called real world. This was one of those days that passed by with many distractions and few real events. Now, today in our gospel, we meet Jesus' disciples on a day with few distractions and one very real event to them, the transfiguration of our Lord. It's recorded in 3 of the 4 gospels, and today we hear Luke's version of it. This story is a turning point in his narrative. Just a few verses after today's reading, Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem, and in doing so begins his journey to the cross, bringing his disciples along with him into the mystery of his suffering and death. Peter, James, and John witness Jesus' glory for a brief moment, a preview of what's to come, maybe, just enough to give them a good scare. And then it's on to the next thing. They climb down the mountain. They've returned to the trials and tribulations of ordinary life. This was a majestic epiphany, if there ever was one, and yet the story continues almost as if it hadn't happened. We leave the mountain behind. We return to the noise and distraction of daily life. Now, of course, most of our days are filled with distractions and few real events. Most of our days don't involve transfigured moments, try as hard as we might to encounter them. We don't have to go away to a monastery to experience that. Distractions are available to us every waking minute of the day and even every moment of the night. Real events like the one the disciples experience require a certain degree of solitude. They require going away to the mountain, stepping out of the regular rhythm of life. Now, a few years ago, it was impossible to go a day without a moment of solitude. And by solitude, I mean a very specific thing, the kind that Raymond Ketledge and Michael Irwin define as freedom from inputs from other minds. Take a moment to digest that. Freedom from inputs from other minds. Any moment you are processing input from another mind, even when you're just sitting with a book or a piece of music or other art, any moment where you are processing the ideas of another person doesn't count as solitude under this definition. At one time, none of us could avoid moments like that throughout our day. At one time, it was impossible not to find yourself alone with your thoughts. Now, in a matter of just really 15 to 20 years, we've entered an era where it is nearly impossible to find this kind of solitude. If it was hard for Nouwen, the monk, to avoid distractions in 1974, how much harder is it for us now, in 2019? Now, of course, we can't turn back the clock. We can't act as if this shift hadn't happened. We can't even recover a transfigured moment by recreating the experience, sitting in the exact same place, waiting for the sun to crest over the hills just right. But the goal in the Christian life isn't to capture these moments under lock and key, as if doing so would somehow make our life more meaningful. No, my friends, the point of the Christian life, the bigger challenge that comes with a Christian life that is always before us, no matter what time or place we happen to have been born into, is to climb down the mountain and return to regular life. The goal is not to remain on the mountaintop, but to bring the presence of Christ with us on the way down. The goal is to journey with Jesus further up and further in, to create space for real events in the thick of day-to-day life. This coming Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, and we begin the season of Lent. The season of Lent is a time of preparation, a time in the liturgical year specially set aside to wander with Jesus as to how we may be called to a deeper life, a more fulfilling vocation, whatever our work or career happens to be. It is not just a space and time set aside for the would-be monks among us, but a time for each of us to take stock and travel deeper into the mystery of God's call. What distractions have been keeping you away from engaging with the real events in your life? Consider cutting back. Whether it is TV or a particular food or your relationship to the little black mirror buzzing in your pocket right now, not because these distractions are bad in and of themselves, but because in taking a step back, you may be able to reassess its proper place in your relationship with God and the world God loves, the very world God holds in God's hands with wholehearted love. Where have you found yourself most likely to encounter the real in daily life? Consider leaning into those opportunities. Whether it's joining a few others for contemplative prayer here at St. Paul's in the middle of the week, or creating a space for such prayer at home, a dedicated nook for that purpose, or exploring a spot close to work, another church even, if it's close to your office, where you can sit and pray for just a bit. There are plenty of spaces and places in this beautiful and messy world where God is waiting to meet you. And they're out there just for you. Nouwen returned to the lecture circuit after 7 months at Genesee Monastery. He returned to preaching and teaching, to the busyness of his schedule. And from the evidence available, I don't think he reached any profound insight there that isn't available elsewhere. I don't think he stopped pursuing what he felt called to do afterward. But in the rhythms of monastic life, in the dullness of manual labor, prayer, and study, he found a true training ground for what it meant to pray without ceasing, to pull back the curtain on what we call productivity, but in reality is simply the noise we make to prove to people that we are worthwhile. I say that this insight into ourselves, in and of itself, is worth the time in menial labor, in study, and in prayer. And I hope that we'll make room for being, just being, in a culture that is obsessed with busyness. I hope that come what may, Christ may visit us on a lone mountaintop, and that he may walk down with us wherever the road may lead. Amen.